5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to Tech Talk from RNIB Connect Radio, the RNIB's technology show for blind and partially sighted people. See technology differently.
Hello, welcome to another Tech Talk with me, Stephen Scott. I've got my friends with me as always. Lucky me. I've got Robin Christofferson from AbilityNet. Hello, Robin.
Hello, Stephen. How are you?
You're my little winter Robin. And we have, of course, our own Tiny Tim as well. Festive as I bring this in. Tim Schwartz is with us from lifeafterblindness.com. Hello, Tim.
Hello, Stephen. May God bless us, everyone.
Beautifully done. Was that the Queen?
So tiny.
Yes. I don't know why, instead of it coming out as a small child, it came out as the Queen, but yeah, whatever.
Yeah, there you go. Well, you know, you were in the right ballpark, I guess.
Sort of. Right country.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I can't remember. Andy, what? Andy for Christmas. I really should have thought this through before I started. Emails Andy's here. He's our own Andy Pandy. That's the best I can do.
Yes, it sounds like you've all been on the eggnog.
Yes, well,
you're all a bit chipper.
Yeah, well, do you know, it's that time of year where, and of course the thing is, you know, drinking during the day is perfectly normal now because, you know, we're all working from home. I mean, we all do that, don't we? Don't we?
Sure.
If it helps you, yes.
Absolutely, yeah. There's water in this bottle. Of course there is.
You never believe me when I say I'm going to go get water and drink water. You always think it's something else. So.
Yeah, because I know it is. right, okay, let's get into what we're here for this week, which is email. Christmas emails. Christmas emails from last Christmas. Right, let's get into the
Christmas emails. We've barely got into August, I think, at this stage.
From 2019. This is pre-pandemic stuff we're doing here.
Incredibly, because we did emails last week as well, we have got through, I think, 3.5 pages of emails. So now we're down to 15. 15
That's
emails
disgraceful.
To go.
Let's see if we can get single digits, guys. Come
right,
on.
Let's do it. Yeah. Let's do it. Let's go. Come let's on. Just stop all your nonsense, Robin. Let's get on with the show.
Let's do it.
So we're going to start. We're going to force you to start with an email from Nadia, who's writing in regarding the Audible discussion that we had a couple of episodes ago now. Nadia herself was having issues with Audible Manager. She too received the email from Audible that the lady mentioned, and it said that two things were being discontinued. They were stopping format for you so you could re-download your book, and they're also discontinuing Audible Manager, and they're replacing it with something that they believe is better, but that's a matter of opinion. It's called Audible Sync, and it's supposed to be compatible with Windows 10, and as far as I can tell from her own brief exploration, it is JAWS friendly. You're supposed to be able to transfer books to the stream and then listen to them just as you would before. However, the stream will need to be reactivated with Audible Sync. Don't even bother asking Audible for instructions because, according to Nadia, they're rubbish. They're all completely visual and they keep telling you to click on this and that, and they speak in terms of icons and pictures. Also, for some reason, Audible have stopped screen sharing, so they can't help you install it. Your best bet would be to ring HumanWare and they will be able to help you talk through the activating the stream and then transferring books. As a side note, I'm not happy with Audible at the moment. It was me, Stephen, who complained to you about the problems with the Echo. Although the third generation, it's a different problem to the second. The second generation just stopped playing books whenever it felt like it. The third generation sometimes decides it won't remember its place that I left it. Now, I love my stream, she says, and I admit that I've been finding alternative ways of listening to Audible because I have neck and back problems, and sitting in front of a computer to transfer books is time-consuming and can cause me pain. I'd like to reassure the lady, I'm sorry, she says, I've forgotten her name, that the Audible app is pretty easy to use. I've put off doing so for ages and stubbornly went on using the stream because that's what I'd always done. But when they brought out Audible Sync with instructions no blind person could follow, when I realised that I would have to reactivate my stream multiple times because I had books stored on several SD cards, you have to reactivate each card so that it will recognise Audible files. I gave up and I started looking for an alternative. At the moment, I use my stream for everything except Audible. I had to give up on Easy Reader as I have no end of problems with it. But I'm not looking forward to transferring books from my laptop because, it causes me discomfort. Also, I've had loads of problems with the reading services websites. I don't like this new way of doing things at all. But that is a digression. As much as I love the stream and I think it's a great device, I do believe its manner of working has become outdated. If we could download books directly from Audible or the RNIB library through a Wi-Fi connection onto the stream, that would be great. And I hope this proves helpful. I haven't tried transferring books with Audible Sync yet. I have no idea how painless or painful that is. I've never used Audible Manager anyway. Once the books were downloaded, I copied them all into a folder on my hard drive and I transferred them from there by copying and pasting into the Audible folder on the stream SD card. I'm really hoping I'll be able to do that with Audible Sync, if I have to. It's got to put the books somewhere on the hard drive, but I've been relying on a combination of my phone and my Echo. It's great when they have when they work properly, because you can always listen on one device and pick up where you left off on the other, but the Echo doesn't seem to cooperate. I hope my ramblings have made some sense and that you're all well. That is an email from Nadia.
Yeah, it does make sense. It just it always feels like it's a really complicated way of doing things, and it sounds like, I mean, I'm exhausted for you, Nadia, but I know your feeling on this because, and I know Robin's going to say, "Didn't you use your Echo?" But you know, at the end of the day, and yes, that's true. You will say that, but you know, as we know historically from Nadia, she has had issues with her Echo playing Audible books. She's not had much fun there using it on the phone. Yeah, I've done it. I don't like doing it, if I'm honest. I know it's easy, and it probably is the easiest way of doing it.
Yes.
But I don't like it. I know it is easiest, but it's just, personally, I'm not a fan. I want my books to be separate from all that. I can't, there's notifications and things coming in, and it just interrupts. And I know you can turn all that off, but that's not the point, because I want to obviously get those notifications, but not on the thing I'm trying to listen to something on. So, yeah, I feel your pain. I do feel your pain in this one, Nadia. Robin's going to say Echo now.
Nope. Whatever floats your boat. The thing is with me, right, I'm such a gadfly, or whatever they call it, where you just skip from one thing to another.
What?
I'll be listening to a bit of my audiobook, and then I'm thinking, oh, maybe that latest episode of such and such podcast has come down, so I'll just go to that app, and then I was halfway through listening to something in VoiceStream Reader, so I kind of flit around on my phone. So for me, you know, having to pick up and put down different devices would be a real pain. So, you know, that's just, it's how people like to do things. You know, segregation is your thing. Yeah, you're probably much more of a sticker at one thing than I am, so that's really good.
Yeah, you're just one of those, you know, short attention span.
Yeah,
you just want to jump to the next thing. I do get it. I understand that as well. My problem, my issue is I am a bit of that as well, which is why I like having things separate. Because if I, you know, shiny thing over here pops up, then I'm like, oh, what's that? And then suddenly I'm off and I'm not listening to the other thing, and on it goes. So, no, I do like to be able to switch off completely and listen. I actually quite enjoy listening on the Echo. I wish we could sort out your Echo problem, Nadia, because I think, to be honest, that would be the best way for you to enjoy your Audible books. It really would be, if you could get that to be fixed. Get yourself the new... Hey, listen, I got the new Amazon Echo Ball. You know, the proper one. I got not the Dot, the spherical Dot.
The Echo Ball Medium?
The Echo Ball Medium. Yes, that's exactly how they sell it. Google that. Don't Google that.
I so regret saying that. Idea. It's just don't encouraging you.
I know. But yeah, I did. And do you know, the sound off it is incredibly good. Even with music. It's not a HomePod. It's not a Sonos. But it's good. And I think if I got another one, that'd be pretty cool too. I want to check this. Maybe Andy can Google this for me as we're sitting here.
Go on then.
But at the bottom of the Amazon Echo Ball Medium, there is what I would say a tripod mount. Might not be, but I think there's a tripod mount at the bottom of it. And this intrigues me because I could put it on a little tripod mount and I could have it standing up. It could be a ball on a stick.
For extra sound dispersal, probably. Yeah, sounds good.
Yeah, I don't know why they've done that, if that's what it is. It's like some kind of screw hole at the bottom of it, but I don't know what for.
You'd be absolutely right, Stephen. Right, so I've Googled Echo tripod mount. The first result is for a link going to Amazon. And yes, you can attach your Echo Show 5. Are you talking about the 5? No, you're talking about the ball, aren't you?
Ball, yeah.
You can do it with the 5. I'm guessing you must be able to do it with all other Show devices then. I'm going to keep looking anyway.
Okay. I don't know why they've done that. I don't know what the benefit of that would be.
I guess if you don't have like a table or something like that to put it on, maybe they...
But you do happen to have a floating tripod. But you don't have a table in your house.
Yeah, you want to
you
don't
stick
have
a tripod.
Yeah, you don't have a couch side table kind of thing. You want to be able to just put it on a tripod and get it up from
I
the
like
floor.
That idea.
Yeah. Or you do, and you just want it maybe a couple of inches higher. Yeah. So
or higher.
You can see
that's,
over
yeah,
the
true.
Arm.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Who
like
knows?
That yeah. Anyway, that's an aside. What was I talking about? Audible. Yes. So, just sort it. Get an Echo Ball medium, Nadia, and your life will be in transformed. And if not, then email Robin, and he'll deal with all your complaints.
Yes, that's fine. Thank you.
Right. Glad we sorted that out. Right, okay, moving on.
Alan has news on a Lady A and Guide Dogs partnership. Now, I appreciate this is probably a couple of months old now. He says, "Hi, Robin. Your two favourite things have come together to offer correct advice to anyone who has a guide dog. The service is being introduced and is being supported by the association. Simply ask Lady A a question about care or problem solving when you have a guide dog. This will gratefully improve the owner's confidence and offer correct advice for a short-term measure. Thanks for Tech Talk. I listen every week on the internet. Kind regards to you all, not forgetting Andy." That's an email from Alan.
Thanks, Alan. Yeah, that's, I think, the third notable integration that we've had on the A-Lady recently. Before then was the RNIB, obviously. Really useful. Mm-hmm. There's a range of information which you'll just get on tap now without having to invoke a skill or anything around sight loss and eye checkups and that sort of thing. And then there's obviously the NHS integration as well, so all of the 111 information is now available, so just ask her anything about, you know, health and obviously COVID and that sort of thing. But yeah, increasingly we're seeing this kind of third party content coming into the A-Lady without you having to think about invoking a skill or anything like that. Good stuff.
Yeah, okay, good. Right, what else have we got, Andy?
Mario says hello from Croatia.
Oh, hello.
Huh? We've got a listener in Croatia. Thank you, Stephen, Robin and Andy and Tim, for a great podcast every week. A few months ago, you mentioned, Stephen, that you had purchased a Rodecaster Pro sound interface and mixer for all of your podcasting needs. I tried to find more about that device on YouTube, and if I understand correctly, that machine has a touch screen. And when you talked about the Rodecaster Pro on the podcast, you said that it is not accessible enough, but recently I saw on the mailing list for the Blind Reaper users that Rode promised that they would do something about accessibility problem with that device. So I'm interested. Did they make any progress? Can you please tell us more about using that device from a blind person's perspective? Is it possible to use that device in a standalone mode, or do you need a computer to record? Do you have a possibility to have each track separately so you can edit in a DAW, or do you just have to have stereo output? I'm doing podcasts in Croatian about blindness that is called Knowledge and Creativity. I'm not even going to try the Croatian pronunciation of that. There is a great numbers of podcasts about blindness, accessibility, the apps and devices and other problems regarding blindness in English. But unfortunately, in Croatian and in similar languages, there are only two, as much as I know. Thanks in advance for your answer. Stay safe. Keep up the good work. Best regards, Mario.
Thank you, Mario, for a wonderful question. And, you know, a really interesting question for sure, because it gives me a chance to talk a little bit about this fantastic piece of kit that you so rightly say I purchased last year, I think it was. I was so excited when it came out. I was also very skeptical of its capability. So essentially, this is a mixing desk, which has got 8 channels on it. 4 of those are microphone inputs. There are also 4 other inputs. One is a USB input, so you can connect this to your PC or your Mac. and you're able to use it as a sound card on your PC, but you can record audio coming from the PC, and you can also record back to the PC that way. There's also a line-in port, which is rather interesting. It's not your standard, you know, RCA or phono jack type connector. It is, in fact, a TRSS connector. I think I've got that right. TRRS or TRSS. Essentially, what it is the connection point you would use out of your phone. And that's really how they're billing this. It's a mobile phone connection port. So, you know, if you have a phone which has got a headphone jack in it, you'd be able to take a connection from that and go right into this desk, and it means you could have calls. You could make calls and bring calls into your conversation. So let's say someone calls in your podcast, or you want to call someone to be on your podcast, you can do it that way. Also, it has a Bluetooth connection fader as well, and that fader allows you to bring in sources on Bluetooth. So it could be, for example, your phone. You don't have to use the actual TRSS port. Maybe you don't have a headphone port, you don't want to use the cables. You can just connect via Bluetooth directly. Or, in the case of our Robin Christofferson, for example, you can do your he can do his dot-to-dot podcast, and you can just connect your Echo Dot up to the desk. So you could actually have that as a source. And that could be anything. It could be your computer as well. I've done that. I've had my computer hooked up via Bluetooth. It means if I'm doing any demonstrations, I can very simply bring that in. So, you know, it works really well. And there's an eighth fader, or slider, if you like, which is on the desk. And that is a volume control for eight pads. There are eight pads on the desk as well. And what those allow you to do is put audio onto those. So, you know, when I play my email jingle, that is actually coming from there. That's actually coming from a button I press on the desk, and the audio comes out of that eighth channel that I can just, you know, fade that up and down. Now, when it comes to recording, there are two ways to do it. Well, arguably three, but there's two main ways to do it. That is direct to USB, which means it will go via USB to your computer. You could open up your DAW, your DAW, your digital audio workstation, as you mentioned. You could open up something like Adobe Audition or Audacity or Reaper or Pro Tools or whatever it is you're using, and you'd be able to record right back into the desk, or into the software, I should say, from the desk. The second option, which I use all the time and I love, is actually built in. You have a little SD card, micro SD card on the back of this. You plug in your, put in your micro SD card, and I've got, I think it's a 512 gig one in there, just for safety's sake, more than anything else, because I record a lot on this desk. And there's a big record button on the desk, you whack that, you're recording, and that's it. Now, there are two ways to record on the desk this way. You can actually record single track, which is just everything that is coming out of all the faders, gets mashed into one big track, and then you can edit it later. And that might be fine for most people. But there's also a multi-track option as well. And what that means is it will record every single track, mic 1, mic 2, mic 3, mic 4, your USB channel, your phone channel, your Bluetooth channel, and what's called your sounds channel, all separately. Now, what that means is you get a lot of audio files in the end, but what it means is that if you wanted to, you could then go in and really finesse your audio edit, you know, really, really finesse it. So, you know, lots of really interesting features with it. It's got four headphone outs. Of course, bear in mind, like I say, with the four mic inputs, this is built for a round table discussion. When Robin and I were together for TechShare Pro last year, we used this mixing desk so we could record the TechShare Procasts. And it was great because people were coming in, they were able to sit down, put a pair of headphones on, they had a microphone attached, and, you know, everything was connected to the one unit. We just hit record. Everything was being recorded in multi-track, which meant I could fix it later in post. If someone's level was a bit low or someone coughed, I could fix that independently of all the other tracks. So, you know, lots of benefits to this particular piece of hardware, for sure. In terms of the actual interface, it's not the most accessible because it is pretty much operated by a touchscreen built in, almost the size of a small phone on your display on this the machine. You have to use that touchscreen to activate many of the controls. Truthfully, once it's set up, once it's up and running, once you've got everything on, you don't really need to touch it again. I find Be My Eyes quite useful with this, or Aira particularly, you know, because they can get a bit more in depth. I just, you know, generally just place my phone above the touchscreen and let them kind of talk me through what to touch, what to press. But like I say, once it's actually set up, you don't really need to do much more than that. Everything else is fairly tactile with the knobs for the headphones. You've got your pads and you've got the actual physical faders as well. Now, the other output option I was mentioning, there is another way to do this. There are two jack outputs on it, two phono jack outputs, which would give you the ability to connect up, say, an additional recorder. For example, you might want to use that if you wanted to maybe take it out to another recorder. I don't know why you'd need to, but maybe if you're just determined you want to be safe rather than sorry when it comes to the, you don't want to end up losing all those recordings. So, you know, for that reason, there is that option. Most of us will use that for speakers, and that's what I've done here. One thing that I will say that I love about this desk, and there's a lot of things I love about it, but one thing in particular that really stands out for me is the ability to mute the speakers when you fade up your microphones. You know that way you're recording and suddenly you have that horrible hum or that really loud feedback that you get because you've, you know, got your headphones or your speakers are up too loud? Well, that goes away because as soon as you push up that microphone fader, the speakers actually cut off, which is the way that all big broadcasting consoles do in big studios. So you're getting some really pro features. Also, because the firmware is being updated regularly, you're always getting updates to it. That's really good as well. One other point to note, if you're using it in a multi-track sense, you will find that you'll get a lot of files that you have to download. And this can be quite awkward because you have to download those files via a piece of software on the PC or Mac called the Rodecaster Pro software, and it's not accessible. Yeah, that's the problem. So it's not an accessible system, and there are a lot of issues with that. So, you know, it's a great system, but there are roadblocks. But these roadblocks are not insurmountable. But something like Aira, being able to do the initial setup, that's good. If you can use Aira then to connect to your PC to do the drag and drop side of things from the app. So if you wanted to, for example, put audio onto those little sound pads, you would really need sighted assistance for that because you have to literally drag and drop. And yes, I know you can drag and drop with JAWS, and in VoiceOver you can do the same, but it doesn't quite work the way you might think because the actual program itself is entirely inaccessible. So that's the challenge of it, but I think it's worth the effort, if I'm honest. And I think if you're serious about this, if you're going down this route and you're going to spend over £500 for this piece of kit, you're probably going to want to have access to something like an Aira subscription anyway, just to keep an eye on what you're actually doing. But no, great little system. I personally highly recommend it.
Hannah writes in via her husband Yngwie's phone. Now, we've heard of Yngwie before, our fan in Norway, I believe. Is that correct? After updating to iOS 14, Hannah writes, I feel like my iPhone has turned against me. Before this update, I assure all of the Tech Talk listeners that I was very proficient iPhone user. I am having major problems with Safari, among other things. The cursor doesn't seem to hold its focus. How on earth do I close a tab after I'm done with it without erasing everything else in my favourites menu? None of the tabs are labelled, therefore it is impossible to know what they're for. Please help if you can. Love the show. Hello to whoever is there, Hannah.
Well, a couple things with this. I mean, if you're still just on iOS 14 by this point, you should be at least at 14.2, which I do believe fixes quite a bit of this and some of the focus issues people were having. Honestly, I know Robin, at least, maybe even Stephen would agree with this. Just use Microsoft Edge on your phone. That'll clear it up. But no, still using Safari. I have found now at least through 14.2 and beyond, a lot of this is fixed. If I close Safari out of App Switcher, nothing's gone. My tabs, when I open up the tabs and then all the list of all the probably 80 tabs that I have going at one time, they're all there. The list is there. So it should be corrected by now. But like I said, I only dabble with Safari once in a blue moon at this point. I use it for very specific things because I am now trying to full-time use Microsoft Edge. Because it's just cleaner, if that makes sense. And the tabs are very well labeled, and there's an obvious close button. Sometimes if I swipe up or down in Safari to close a tab, I'll forget, oh, okay, I closed that one, and I wanted to activate the next one. And instead of flicking to you know, to open it or activate it, I still am on the close, and I accidentally close tabs all the time. In Edge, you don't have that. There is a separate, you know, close button that's very clearly marked. So, so I mean, that's another way to look at it. But no, it should be up. It should be updated and fixed by now.
Hopefully.
Yeah, that's the problem. I mean, some of our emails we're reading here are a little bit older, yeah. So some of the issues we're coming up against might be fixed by now. In fact, I'm pretty confident that that particular issue, which was a major problem at the start of iOS 14, has been resolved. So, okay. But, you know, keep in touch. You know, let us know if there are other issues. And also email Apple as well. Let them know. You'll never get a response. They'll never come back to you. But at least it's going into an inbox. Yeah, exactly. They will read it.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay, Andy, what else have we got?
We wouldn't have a Tech Talk show without hearing from one of the Richards. This is an email from Richard the First, emailing in with the subject title, "More Women, Please." Hello, chaps. I've just been listening to...
I think an order, or...?
I don't know. He says, just been listening to episode 347. No women's favorite voices... Was it?
Yeah, do you remember what... I have no idea. I barely know what episode we're on right now.
29th of September, it was when we talked about the new Echoes being revealed and the new Samsung device. So, yeah. He says, no women voices at all. Assuming the proportion of tech users reflects population numbers, which I don't know for certain, more techie ladies would be a very welcome addition to your excellent show. If Scottish, into the bargain, even better. Many thanks, Richard Foster in Aberdeen, sometimes referred to as Richard the First.
Okay, thank you for that, Richard. We'll leave it there for the emails. We'll come back in a few moments with more of those here on Tech Talk with the guys. But for now, let's join Davinda, who has got some news for us from the Technology for Life team. This week, he's talking about memory.
Hi, this is Davinda from the Technology for Life team. I hope you're all well. Today, we want to be talking about a subject around memory and how it links with reading services. Often I get asked when I'm supporting clients about what is memory, how does it work, why is it important? Okay, well, as a general overview and summary, memory comes in generally two forms, with traditional mechanical drives, which was kind of like a spinning hard drive mechanical disk, and what we call modern memory is in a solid state drive, an SSD. And what memory is, it enables us all to store files or programs, music, videos, all those kind of things. Now, if you think about memory in the sense of how much memory is enough, because it's a question that comes up. Well, general simple maths, 1,000 kilobytes is a megabyte. 1,000 megabytes is what we call a gigabyte. And 1,000 of those gigabytes is what we call a terabyte. Okay, so with that in mind, people might think, well, how does that translate into everyday programs, files, etc.? Well, I'll use an analogy of a car park. If you think of a file, like, say, a Word document or a PowerPoint presentation, think of that as, say, a bicycle. Think of a music file as, say, a car, and let's think of a video file as perhaps a bus or lorry. So depending on how many of those different types of files or programs and the size of them will depend on how big of a car park you would need. So that's where going back into that, well, if it's a terabyte, which is 1,000 of those gigabytes, that's going to be a very big car park. So that's why, in that principle, people say to me, well, how would that translate into kind of reading services? How many books do we need and how much can we do? Well, let's consider the situation of the car park itself. Something that's really important that a lot of people have had challenges with is what we call in memory a file format and the file structure system. So what that means is, within the SSD, the solid state drives of modern day memory, we get three main formats. It's called FAT32, NTFC, and XFAT. Now, those three formats, if you can think of them in the analogy of, for those that may have gone back, say, to VHS, there was a battle war between Betamax and VHS, if you remember. Well, those were just two video formats trying to battle for how to store videos. The same happened with video in the mid-90s to early 2000s, which you may remember, Blu-ray and HD DVD. Again, two format of wars, which were trying to compete to win who would store the video files. So just think of those formats in that same analogy. They enable us to store media on that drive. Now, it's important to know that FAT32 is the oldest. It was released in the 70s, and it's the one format that most devices, be it media players, talking book players, in-car entertainment, etc., it's universally recognized as a very accessible and supported medium. What you should be aware of when you're thinking about this is, in particular when you're thinking about reading services, for example, and talking books, is many people aren't aware that FAT32 has two limitations. One, you cannot transfer any one particular file larger than 4 gigabytes, okay? So that's 4,000 megabytes. The other limitation is that up to 32 gigabytes, that the software in Windows 10, the operating system, will not let you actually format it in that version. So there's some complication. So what I suggest to most people is, if you buy a memory stick of 32 gigabytes or less, say for example 16 gigabytes, you can keep it to FAT32 and store enough talking books for it to play. Because typically our books don't tend to exceed the 4 gigabyte limit. And that means you'll get the best support and the best compatibility with the media player in question that you're using your talking books with. So I just wanted to cover that as an important consideration, because I think memory can get a little bit confusing. And I think it's very important that people are aware that these different formats do exist. And if you wish to ever check on a computer such as Windows, all you need to do is go to what we call Windows Explorer, which is Windows key E, go to the file or USB on the left-hand side you've got in question, whatever it's titled. You can right-click or application key if you're a keyboard user, go to properties, and it will tell you. And if you want to format it, it's exactly the same process, except rather than going to properties, you go to format, and you can choose FAT32 in the file system there. I hope this has been useful. If you've got any other questions, any other technical aspects, and things that you would need support with, please do come back to us at the Technology for Life team. We'll be happy to help. Wishing you a very happy, healthy Christmas season. Best wishes from the team. Thanks very much. Take care.
And if you want to know more about the Technology for Life team, or you want to ask a question directly to the team, then do email them, tfl@rnib.org.uk. You can also contact the team by telephone by calling RNIB's helpline on 0303 123 9999. You can also access all of RNIB's services via that number. Lines are open 8 a.m. till 8 p.m. weekdays, 9 a.m. till 1 p.m. on Saturdays. Right, guys, let's get back to the emails then. I've got Robin, Tim and Andy here. Andy reading through the emails, of course, and more on Audible, I believe.
Yeah, we started the show off with an email from Nadia, and she was referring to an email. And it was Narina who had emailed in originally with her problems with Audible. And Narina has got back in touch with us after her issues. This was back in episode 346. She starts, "Dear Steve, Tim, Andy and Robin, Star for short." Aww. Oh, isn't that nice?
That's nice.
I love it.
I told this to Stephen and he said, well, it could also be rats.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, yeah. There could be a few other things as well, but let's not do that.
She starts off, "Sorry, Tim, you did not get a mention this week when my email was read out, but you were not there when I first sent my email in."
I understand.
"Just to update you all, Yeah. Just to update you all, after I sent my email to you at the beginning of August, not a moan, as I know you get inundated with emails, but I kept looking into my library on Audible, and I had a book waiting for download, and occasionally tried to see if it was any changes that you could imagine. My surprise, about a week or so later, I managed to download it to my computer and then onto my Victor Reader Stream, and with everything crossed, I'm still able to buy and download via Audible Manager. Not sure what is going on, whether they had a problem with their site or too many complaints, as I did contact Humanware, and I did hear from one of the members of staff that they were aware of the problem and many customers were contacting them. I just hope the Audible Manager continues to work, but I know that if I buy a new computer, then I will have to change the way of downloading. They have brought out a new software, as mentioned earlier by Nadia, the Audible Sync, and that she also says that's not user-friendly. Sorry, Stephen, not to spoke to you before about Audible problems regarding the Echo, as I still don't have one. Oh, you know what Stephen's going to say about that.
Do I have one?
Yes. Still very happy with my VR stream, she says.
Oh, this is not good.
We'll be interested to hear of anyone else experiencing problems. Well, we started the show off with it, didn't we? So thanks for a good podcast. Before I forget, Robin, I cannot find your podcast dot to dot via the VR stream. What do I search for? Is the two a figure two? Kind of regards, that's from Narina.
Don't well, ask the Lord that.
What Humanware? What directory are you using? I would have thought the iTunes.
It's iTunes.
Okay, well, blimey. I don't know how you get onto iTunes. I would have thought that they would have sorted
it. I just wanted to say iTunes.
iTunes. Yeah, sorry, I have no idea. Sorry.
But you get your podcast on there, man? Come on.
There's no way of submitting it to Utu. I'll go and have a look. You might have to go straight to the site itself.
Never tried. Right, okay.
But I would say Life After Blindness is available there.
There you go. See? Now, maybe you two could have a conversation about that. You could work out between you how it's possible. Hang on, Andy, are we on there?
I don't think so, no.
Right, great. Well, that's brilliant.
Yeah, fail. So okay, what, you can't listen to Tech Talk on the stream?
Oh, no, she must if she's
obviously
listening to
she
us.
Is.
I wonder how she's...
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
unless
right,
Unless she's
Robin.
Listening live.
Yeah,
she might
yeah.
be listening live.
iTunes. So, she wanted to know how to spell it.
Robin, do you even know what iTunes is or was?
No.
Okay, yeah, quit saying it. Just oh, friendly
so
hit there,
funny.
Buddy. But yeah,
I have no idea what you're talking about.
No, I'm lost as well.
Okay.
Oh, you never guess.
That's one for later. Okay.
I think we need to stop drinking before and after the show, and every yeah. hour in between as well.
Yes.
I think that's
this eggnog.
Okay.
It's going down great.
Yes, it's certainly going down. That's for sure. Right, let's get another email.
Right, I'm going to merge two together here because these are still regarding Audible. So Greg in Pennsylvania, regular contributor to the emails, regarding the listeners with questions about downloading Audible books to play on their Victor Reader streams and tricks, in the Victor Reader Stream and Humanware Information North America podcast have provided a tutorial and a demonstration on downloading books from the new Audible Windows app. This app was initially inaccessible, but Audible has largely addressed that during the time period your readers' emails have waited in the queue. Regards, that's from Greg in Pennsylvania. Ian messages in regarding Audible. Hello, Tech Talk team. I was listening to the demo of how to download an Audible book and load it on the Victor stream. I couldn't help thinking that it sounded such a hassle. How much easier to use a mobile device! Exclamation mark. How even easier than using the A-Lady? With the one of the Echo devices, there's no need for any more downloading. Just tell the device to read the book and off it goes. More and more, I'm finding myself listening to Audible publications by methods which don't necessitate downloading at all. That is from Ian. So that ends the Audible discussion.
I should probably just add one tiny thing. You know, with the Humanware, with the Victor Reader stream, obviously there isn't kind of live syncing. So if you had the Echo as an option for listening when you want to listen out loud, but then you pick it up on the app on your phone, it's going to be in the same place. So you kind of got choice there. But yeah, horses for courses.
I know, but I often sometimes think we make things awfully complicated for ourselves. And I get the joy of the Victor Reader. I do. I've said it, you know, I said it last week. I'll say it again this week. I love using it, but I just... you know, for speed. I mean, if I'm lying in bed at night, and you told me this one, Robin, if I wanted to buy a book, because you can't, in theory, you can't buy the books directly through the device, but there is a way around it, which is if you ask it to play a sample of a book, or play a book, I think it'll play a sample, and then it'll ask if you want to buy it, and then it just
on
does.
On the Echo, yeah.
On the Echo. So, you know, I mean, even that process is simplified. That was one thing I didn't like about Audible, because you had to go through the app, and then, well, you couldn't go in through the app, because you can't buy through the app, so you had to go to the website, and then buy your book, and then go back to the app, and download the book. Whereas now, you can do it all through the Echo device. And I know a lot of people might not want these in their house, but... No one's listening to you. Nobody cares. I mean, you know, nobody's listening to my life. And if they are, I mean, good luck to them.
Yeah, that might be a bit boring, but yeah. So just put that out there. But
cutting.
He's right though.
I know this. But even with the Audible app itself, I use on my iPhone religiously. They've made it simpler. If you have a book already in your wish list, you can go ahead and purchase that through the app. If you've got credits saved up and you're searching for books through the app, you can use your credits to purchase a book. You obviously can't just say, okay, I want to buy this book for whatever it costs. You have to go to the website for that. But if it's already in your wish list or just, you know, you've got credits available, you can even still do that through the app. And I always have credits stashed away because I'm on.
I wasn't aware.
Yeah, I'm on the plan where I get 2 credits a month, and so you know I'm always stockpiled with, you know, 6, 7, 8 credits just sitting there waiting for me to use. And if I find a book I like, I'm searching on the Discover tab in the app, I just say buy with a credit, you know, buy with 1 credit. So that makes it so easy, and it does sync there on the app. And if I do go over to any of my Lady A devices, it picks up where I left off, so I can do that at night. If I want, I'll ask Lady A to pick up a book, you know, where I left off, and maybe even do a sleep timer on it, and it works out really well. Now, as we've said over and over again, the Victor Reader Stream has its place. There are people who need it and want it for certain specific things, and reading books is fantastic on it. But for this. Yeah, I mean, to each their own. If somebody's willing and able to go through that process and do the syncing, great. It's not for me. I'd rather use the app. I'd rather, if I don't want to be bothered, put it in Do Not Disturb or use, this is going to hurt Stephen, a Siri shortcut that will automatically put me in or out of Do Not Disturb when I'm reading an Audible book that'll automatically go, you know, open or closed with Audible. You know, so, I mean, there are other ways to do it, but if what you are used to and what you enjoy and you're fine with the process using the stream, you know, good for you.
Battery life too, you know, save your phone battery life and get 1,000,000 hours on your Victor Reader stream.
Bah.
So I'm just as you were talking about that there, Tim, I was listening to you, honest, I was, but I was just checking on my phone, and this must be a US thing, because in the UK all you get is the option to add it to a wish list or sample the book. You're not getting the option to buy it with a credit. And I'm signed in with my account.
Do you have credits available?
Yeah.
Oh, well, then I apologize.
But that must be a US thing then.
Maybe a difference in
a lot of things
the app
regional.
Version. Yeah,
yeah,
it could be. Mm. Well, we need to
That's
write them
terrible.
And tell them to implement that in the UK, because that's
you know,
ridiculous.
You know what? Just for that, you're getting 4 more years of Trump. I've decided.
No. I take it all back. I don't know what I'm talking about.
Just for that.
No.
For that.
No.
Right, let's get another email.
Hi guys, says Sandra in Bristol. Following the program last week, the 29th of September that is, I purchased a new iPad 7th generation. It's great. I was able to set it up from the box. I was also offered a 1-year free subscription to Apple TV, which is excellent. So much on offer to watch. Keep up the good work. That is Sandra in Bristol.
That's the basic iPad, as you might call it, the entry-level one, isn't it?
The quote-unquote education iPad, right? Yeah. That was the one they announced last year, I think, in Chicago. They've come up with the version 8 this year for the exact same price and just bumped the other one down, like, a little bit.
It's a great iPad.
It is. It's actually the one that we have when that, quote-unquote, again, education iPad came out, the 7. We picked up on it right away because there was a deal near Christmas. I think we got the 128 gig version for less than $400 or something like that. And I thought that was a bargain. And it's been fantastic for us. We've been able to do anything and everything we've wanted to do on it. And it's been perfect. So, no, it's perfect for an entry-level kind of family-use iPad, in my opinion. And as far as Apple TV, yes, they have added so much to Apple TV. There's so much great content there. Everything, obviously, is very accessible. All of it is described, you know, with audio description. So, yeah, no, I can't be more, you know, gloating about Apple TV. It's so good.
I've got to say, you know, going back to the iPad, you know, a lot of people are raving about the iPad Air at the moment and saying, well, if you buy an iPad Air, then you don't need to buy an iPad Pro because there's not that much in it. So there's that kind of debate going on. But everybody always forgets the entry-level iPad. And I'll be honest, I mean, it has great potential, perfectly good enough. I mean, I think it's more than good enough for most people, to be honest. I don't think you need much more than that. You get pencil support if you can use it. You've got the option to put a keyboard on it now as well, you know, an additional cost of about £1 million or whatever the keyboard costs with Apple money. But, you know, the fact is you've got the options available to you that you would have with the big boys, you know, the iPad Air and the iPad Pro. You know, obviously the iPad Pro has more functions to it, but, if, you know, unless you're a graphic designer, I really don't see the point, you know. I mean, for me, I'm sending a couple of emails, I'm maybe on Facebook. What would I need the iPad Pro for? I might have an iPad Pro. That's beside the point.
Frotz runs as well on both.
Oh, not you, so. This Frotz again. Obsessed with Frotz.
Frotz game technically guys. Runs on DOS, so really? That's what Frotz is.
Just saying.
It'll run on a Pentium 1.
It'll run on a 386, maybe a 286. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
It would run on a 10-pound Raspberry Pi.
Yeah, probably, yeah. Okay, let's get another email.
Happy Easter, Stephen Robin Tim.
I love this thing. Wow, you know, most people at this time of year do kind of look back at the year and, you know, look what we did this year. This is us just catching up with the year. So we're at Easter, right? Okay, all right. Fine.
Well, Dean in Derby has tried to be a little bit funny here because he said, hi, Stephen, Robin, Tim and Butler Andy. I say Easter's. That's probably when you're going to get to read this email out.
We got there before
6 months in advance.
Yeah, we're ahead of ourselves.
A very simple question, he asks. How much does a phone call cost when calling using Lady A? Or is it free? Is it free, and if that includes 0845 or 0345 numbers? I do find using Lady A to find local business numbers a lot easier than Googling or using expensive directory inquiry phone services. Lady A does ask you if you'd like her to call the number for you, but I'm not sure if there's any costs involved with that. Cheers, that's Dean in Derby.
Thanks, Dean.
Yeah, if you wouldn't mind, because I think you know more about this than I do.
Yeah, so they're all free unless it's a premium number, and I'm pretty sure that 0845 and 0345 are paid for, aren't they? They're not free.
Well, they're classes. So, well, they're not local, are they? Are they local numbers? 0345 and 0845 are local numbers.
Yeah, but it costs money as opposed to...
Or do they?
I don't know. I'm so sorry. I should have done my homework on this one.
Well, maybe you should start making some 845 number calls and then see what happens, see what bill comes through.
I actually bottled out of trying it to see what happens. I don't think it will charge your Amazon account or, you know, the credit card associated with it without flagging first. But I do know that all calls to non-premium landline and mobile numbers are free through the Echo. So the vast majority will be free, and I can't imagine that it would suddenly hit you with a bill if you asked her for a number that was a premium number and then you took her up on the offer to call it. So I don't know is the answer, but all, you know, numbers that would otherwise be free in an inclusive package like, you know, your landline will be free.
No, that would not include international calling, I presume. So you'd still want to use, say, the Skype skill or drop in or something like that, or connecting to that person, I would believe, because I don't think that I could contact Steven, for example, through his real phone number, cell phone number, home landline number, through my Lady A without having to pay some international charge. I would presume that would be the case.
Well, I don't know, because it's a VoIP call until the last bit. So maybe, maybe not. I don't know.
What I'm saying, if you're using Wilson Lady A and having that person as a contact through Lady A, it would be a VoIP call. But if I say dial and I speak out his phone number or have it from my contacts, his actual cell number, I don't believe that would be a VoIP call.
Well, it would be a VoIP call until it was the last bit. So I think it would then call locally in that country. I don't know is the answer.
No, I must admit, this is. But what annoys me about this is that there really has not been any discussion around this at all, or understanding of how any of this works. I was able to make calls to mobile phones, and I tried it one day by accident. I thought I was calling an Echo device, and I ended up calling someone's mobile. And I was totally confused. And I'm thinking, how does this even work? How am I able to make these calls? Because I see adverts for, I think it's EE and Vodafone, who offer the ability to make calls via their services. But I can do it anyway. And I'm like, well, hang on, what would I be paying for? What's the benefit of having that?
Well, it's got to be limited to a certain degree, because here in the States, at least, AT&T has just in the last few months partnered with Amazon. So you can actually log in through the Amazon app, the Lady A app, into your AT&T account and use Lady A, use your Echo devices to call using your AT&T wireless carrier plan. And so any calls that I couldn't make potentially with the Echo device itself, it would just use my AT&T service. So that is a thing. So that indicates to me that certain calls, like you said, premium calls, maybe even international, you'd have to combine it with a carrier to do that. I know that if I call anybody locally, I've called my wife before, not, Echo to Echo necessarily. It's just, having it call her cell phone through the Lady A, because I actually had a time where my phone had died and I desperately needed to get a hold of her for something. And I'm like, oh yeah, I can call her through the Lady A. That's right. And just had it dialed directly to her phone number, and it worked fine. So, as Robin said, for local calls, there's no problem. I would agree that premium and possibly even international, there may be something there. But again, you've got things like Skype and the Lady A itself, if you're going device to device, that would be free as a VoIP call. But I think calling a phone would be different.
And Zoom support coming soon as well.
Yeah, that'll be fantastic.
Not sure if that's on the Echo Dot, although I imagine it probably will be. I know it's coming up on the Echo Show 10.
Well, you can certainly dial in. So, audio is a thing with these conference calls services, aren't they? So,
yeah, but again, it's a call. So how does that work?
Well,
I'm not convinced that this is all free of charge. I think there's a cost, but I just don't know how it works. Is that why my bank account is being emptied on a fairly regular basis?
Well, that's for other reasons.
Yeah.
Historically, we've always paid, until quite recently, in the UK, we've always paid for calls. Whereas in America, historically, they've never paid. Everything's been free for, local numbers and that sort of thing. So
land of milk and honey.
Yeah. Mm. We're just unused to... nobody paying for it, seemingly. So, yeah, I just know that, when you ask for local businesses or for, other numbers, it just works. Just do it. Give it a go.
Let's just be very clear here. We know it works, but how does it work? That's the question. And will there be a charge? And I think we need to be clear.
I'm going to put my neck on the line.
Yeah. Listen, if you get a bill, then send it to Robin Christofferson. He'll happily pay it for you.
Stephen Scott.
Yeah, right. Look, we're almost out of time again. But that's almost it for us. We're still heading up, of course, to the holidays. Have we all got our presents sorted out? Have we all know what we're doing? I mean, what do you buy guys like us? I mean, that's the problem. What do you get guys like us?
It's a loaded question.
Yeah, socks. Well, I've got more socks. I've got a sock drawer that is bursting with socks, because for that very reason, people keep buying me socks because they think, well, I can't buy anything else.
Whenever anyone's unsure, I tell them two things, very simple. It's cheesy and cheap, but, well, not cheap necessarily, but easy. iTunes cards, Amazon cards. That's it makes it easy.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I'm all for that. Yep. All for that. Right, look, we've got time for one more email. And Andy, this one comes from regular listener Charlotte. Is that right?
Now, Charlotte gets back in contact with us with an email starting, "Results of Plittering."
What?
"Good evening to the quartet of question solvers. Recently, Andy read out an email from me in which..."
Continue, please.
Yes.
Yes, we're now in the Tim section of emails. "Recently, Andy read out an email from me in which, amongst other things, I mentioned that I couldn't get Edge to work. Well, I thought I ought to ping you an update on this. Edge works fine. I've spent the summer plittering around with it and nay bother at all. In fact, I devised a way to compare it with Google Chrome. I asked each to find me information on a particular type of handbag, and Edge had, if you'll pardon the pun, the edge. I don't that's good. I don't know what was happening the first time that I tried to use Edge. Was the laptop tired? Was Supernova tired? But then I have always thought my computers to be bad tempered, illogical, asser wee beasties. Which is why
I'm assuming
always
this person's Scottish. Yes, I'm guessing.
Charlotte is from down in Galloway. And the last time she emailed in, there was a lot of Scottish phrases which I stumbled over in my typical English fashion.
She's doing this to annoy you, though. That's what she's doing.
Yeah, and it's great. It's 16 years here. I've still not picked up the accent, as you can tell. She says that she always sets it up with a male voice, her computers, which goes along with being bad-tempered, illogical, assert wee beasties. Many thanks to Robin for giving his latest demonstration using VoiceOver with iOS 14 at an audible speaking rate.
Yeah,
that
Robin.
Was great.
You see, I can learn. An old dog can learn new tricks.
You said it.
When listening...
Again, not getting any kind of contrary opinion out of me.
Yeah, I'm staying out of that one. Yeah.
I celebrated my 50th birthday a couple of weeks ago.
Happy birthday.
Oh, happy birthday.
Officially
birthday,
old.
Robin.
Yeah. Thanks.
Wish I had my happy birthday jingle. I don't have it here.
Is it not on your pads?
It's in the office. It's there with my klaxon. Anyway,
derailed.
Yes, no, yeah, we derailed there. When listening to something new and technical, it helped so much. But where did he find iOS 14? Only recently, my Apple gadgets have updated to 13.
Uh-oh.
Something or other.
We're out of date.
Time warp.
Yes. Yeah. However, I do apologise for this, and I have one more wee request. When demonstrating the skills of the A-Wifey, could you make clear whether this is a skill common to the A-Wifey, no matter what, or something which for a subscription is required? I don't subscribe to anything more than I have to. Many thanks again for such a great podcast. Informative and entertaining, makes reaching through the ironing on a Wednesday morning almost fun.
I'm loving
That's
this.
That's best wishes. Quiet you. Best wishes, Charlotte and guide dog Christie down in Galloway. P.S. With this town's Wigton Book Festival having to go virtual, may I recommend the great stuff from this year's event to be found on YouTube? I'll second that, Charlotte. Wonderful stuff.
So on the subscription side of things, that brilliant email. Thank you so much. I would always...
Did you understand any of that?
I don't know what the A-Wifey is, but anyway, the A-Lady, the Echo... Okay.
Yes. What about reaching through the ironing?
Speeding through? I don't know.
Flying through.
Flying through.
I said, wasn't that Stephen? Reaching?
Weeking maybe, or wheeching through. Oh, yes. Now you're talking my language.
I just spent the last couple of weeks watching The Crown on Netflix, so my accent is as far from Scottish as you can imagine. I've gone all. Yeah, I need to get up to date with Still Game or something.
Back on track. Look, that's it for us this week. That is our time up. Thank you so much for being with us. As always, Robin Christofferson, thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Tim Schwartz, thank you.
Thank you.
And Emails Andy, thank you.
Bye.
Catch you next time, guys.